Welcome to another Minivate Gang podcast, this time for Saturday, January 31st, 2009. This is Steve Borsch. Welcome back. And my cohorts in crime are on Graham Thickens.
Hello there.
Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
And Phil Wilson.
Good morning, everybody.
How you guys doing? Well, today, and you know what? I'm feeling optimistic because I'm looking out the window here and it's a blue sky mostly. And the sun's out, and oh, I love how it's getting lighter earlier. But we kind of agreed that today's podcast is going to be called Silver Linings, and we're going to focus on the good news and good news only. So if you're listening to this, go elsewhere if you want to hear about how bad the economy is. I'm going to bet you can probably find something. And except, though, did you see that Google's broken this morning?
Yep.
Every search result is this site may harm your computer. So even if you search for bad news, I don't think you're going to find it. Anyway,
I'm wondering if Yahoo hacked it because everything's working fine at Yahoo.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy. I don't know.
I don't know about you guys. I'm not having any trouble.
Aren't you really?
No.
Everybody's tweeting all about it.
I noticed that this morning. Yeah, there's something wrong with their webmaster tool.
So for this particular podcast, we're going to talk about where possibilities might reside, how to create a different mindset and attitude about our current situation and maybe some action to take to move forward.
We're going to talk about alcoholism? Sweet.
Yeah, exactly. And black dog heroin. UPS came yesterday. Yeah. That's a joke.
Let's drink.
Well, my favorite meme that I've been reading is about our current situation is the world's undergoing an economic reboot. What do you guys think about that?
That's one way to put it, I guess.
Yeah.
No, I think we're going through a period where a lot of us are going to kind of rethink everything. So I think it is a reboot from that perspective. I know that. You know, what we've been doing is basically living on cash, which is different than, you know, kind of the credit mentality that we had, you know, for the last 10, 15 years. So I think that that's going to change a lot. And one of the things that I do in my day job is cover the retail beat. And, you know, retailers are seeing that where people are just not buying as much as they used to. And I think that has a lot to do with the credit situation and a lot to do with the way that people are rethinking their lives and really kind of thinking about what's important and then really just zeroing in on the most important critical things.
Yeah. Well, and what I found interesting was this week's Business Week, the February 9th Business Week, they typically do this is they'll go through, you know, 2, 3, 4 stories that are pragmatic but negative. So this particular issue is about, you know, corporate failures, the worst is yet to come, and banking issues and so on and so forth. But then they always put something that is, you know, directional or positive or strategic. And in this case, they put an excerpt from Jeff Jarvis's new book, What Would Google Do? And it's about how the Google model could help Detroit. I submit, after reading this, that this model could help everyone. And it's about transparency, and it's about engaging your ecosystem and your customer base. You know, it's crowdsourcing, it's Wiconomics, it's all of that.
Well, I think that Google is an anomaly, actually. I'm not sure if any company can just knock off their model because it's so, you know, it's not something that I think is replicable. But certainly you could learn from their, you know, from their success. So, you know, I'm a big open source believer. So I believe that is the way forward. I think a lot of companies are going to have problems with that. But those that don't and those that see the opportunity will prosper. But, you know, I'm not sure if I haven't read the book, so I probably shouldn't, you know, shoot it down. But, you know, it's going to be difficult for any company to try to capture the Google magic again, because the set of circumstances that, uh, that they took advantage of back 10, 12 years ago when they started, just aren't, you know, aren't here now for others. You know, the circumstances are vastly different.
Well, I would agree with that from the Google standpoint, but, you know, what about engaging your customers with, I mean, something as simple as, you know, feedback forms and having ways for customers to participate in and tell you what they want. Most won't.
Oh, absolutely. I think that is what smart companies are doing. They're leveraging Twitter and Facebook and any way that they can engage directly with their customers. And what was funny is yesterday on Twitter, someone on one of my accounts sent a link to a user-generated Trader Joe's ad. Did anyone see that?
No.
It was on YouTube, or it's on YouTube, and it's a little less than 3 minutes, and it's some guy with his camera phone in a Trader Joe's, and he wrote a song, and it's like a long form ad, and it's just great. It's just some guy that did it. So I think the companies that can harness that kind of thing and can, you know, that, and that can go kind of viral, those are the companies that are going to really succeed.
An article in the Saturday Wall Street Journal by Chris Anderson of Wired, the economics of giving it away, you know, raising the question of, you know, the challenge now is to see business models that work. You know, in a battered economy, free goods and services online are more attractive than ever. So how can the suppliers make a business model out of nothing? And it's setting forth the challenge that, you know, it's the startups and the new companies that are working on unique business models. That's where the action is, obviously. And, you know, everybody wants everything for free on the internet. And yeah, rah, rah, open source. But, you know, until somebody figures out some business models here, they're going to actually bring real revenue. You know, we aren't going to really move forward. So, but I would put forth that I think it's the small business economy and the entrepreneurial economy that are going to move us forward. And we don't hear a lot about what's going on in that space, but there's tons always going on there. And I get a lot of my good news out of that. So, you know, that's what I would point towards as a solution to rebooting our economy. It's always been the source of jobs, and it will continue to be the major source of jobs, not the big companies, you know, not all this macro crap that we're reading about all the time, about how the large companies are contracting. You know, the growth is not going to come from there. It's going to come from, you know, where the majority of jobs always have come from.
Well, and here's one of the things that I'm finding very interesting. I've been very troubled by several services that I've used that have gone away. And I really like the fact that services like Vimeo and Mogulus on the video side now have pay models. And so you can pay them and take off branding and do other sorts of things. And that seems to be moving forward with a lot of these containers and even widgets, which I love, because then I don't have people's branding all over my site and my deliverable and so forth.
You know, I kind of take the other side. I don't really mind having a little bit of branding on a tool that I'm using. If I use it on a site or something like that, you know, I've been using some things, well, like, you know, like Viddler and things like that to post some videos. And I don't mind having a little logo bug there or something like that, as long as I'm getting the service, you know, and quality service in return. I think the onus then falls back on Viddler. They've got to be able to figure out how they can monetize, you know, their logo somewhere, or, you know, an advertiser's logo somewhere. And I think that kind of harkens back to the concept of the days of advertisers just buying pure tonnage of ears or eyes or, you know, whatever to expose their product has got to change to a model of, you know, what kind of results they get from those people that they reach, you know. So it switches from a quantity to a quality model. So I don't really mind having logos pop up on things.
Yeah, I agree. I think that advertisers are going to use this web technology to really hyper target advertising, and the advertising is going to change and won't be broadcast. It'll be very, very customized. So, you know, some of these video sites and other services that we use, like even like Twitter, I think can work an advertising model into it that's not the same kind of interruption advertising that we've had in the, you know, on television and radio for God knows how long.
So, you know, and I don't necessarily see anything too bad with some sort of interruption model, as long as those interruptions are kept to a minimum. And that's, you know, coming from broadcast media, that's where we made a lot of mistakes, is we started to load up, you know, numbers of units and things like that in broadcast programming. And that's really where the problem starts, because we're trying to impact the bottom line by having more inventory, not getting more out of the inventory we have, thereby protecting the product. So, I mean, that's that issue. So I don't think interruption commercials or marketing of some kind is a problem, as long as it's kept to a minimum. And the expectation is there from the user or the participant to say, yeah, okay, I'm using this service and I know I'm going to get this every once in a while. I mean, Pandora is trying it right now in their model. So I think that there's more tolerance for it, as long as we set the expectations that we're not going to abuse that.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that the advertising model is going to change. And I think we're getting a taste of what that looks like at places like Hulu, where you do have an ad, but it's a pre-roll. It's very short. Then there's usually one, maybe two inside the program, but they're not 60-second ads. They're 30-second, 15-second ads. Yeah. So
that's my argument there. I mean, because that to me is tolerable. I'll sit and I'll watch an episode of something that I missed on TV, and I'll watch it on Hulu, and I'll gladly sacrifice the 12 minutes of commercials I usually get for the 2 15-second ads that I see.
Right. Yeah. But I think we're going to also see product placement in those kinds of things as well. And as technology like that Pokeware company that was at Mini Demo, yeah, year or two ago, that sort of thing where you can have hot spots in the video, because as the screen becomes the laptop as opposed to the television screen, that opens up different interface ideas that where you can stop stuff and you know, touch it basically with the mouse or with your finger and have information about that item, or indeed buy that item. That I think that's going to be an interesting evolution in the way that entertainment is marketed.
The conundrum that you have there, as far as adopting a new form of delivering ads or a new technology to view ads, hence the hotspots and that sort of thing, it becomes an issue of training basically the consumer to use that new technology. And you see a lot of problems with industries that want to adopt new forms of advertising or new forms of reaching their audience, but they don't want to necessarily educate their audience to that, because they feel like they're taking time to train somebody, and that time is not generating dollars. It's basically laying out the groundwork to generate dollars. And so many companies are on such a short time, a success curve. I mean, I got to have these results in this quarter. The trouble is that a lot of people just don't want to take that time to train consumers to use a product that will ultimately serve the consumer better. It's easier for media to fall back on, well, we've always done 30-second ads, we'll just do 30-second ads. I think that's valuable that we do have to train that. And I think people will, companies will come around and say, yeah, we have to dedicate this time. You see it with high def TV transition. I mean, think about all the airtime that has been spent by TV stations to educate people on high def. You know, if they spent that kind of time, promoting new ways of accessing advertising or new ways or even, public service announcements, amazing things that would be able to be changed, and systems could be changed.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I mean, if you take a look at just one big data point, which is every major video delivery mechanism is building in tracking and analytics as one of the key value propositions. So I want to know where my video is embedded. I want to know how many views come from each one of those embeds so that I can then understand where people are going and what they're looking at. So that's one thing. The other thing is widget and container makers like Sprout or iWidget are doing exactly the same thing. So there's that data point. And then there's a personal data point where I had breakfast with the president of one of the fastest growing ad agencies in this market, or probably the fastest growing agency. And one of their key accelerators is interactive, because that has to be part and parcel of what everybody's doing. And so all these organizations want to be able to figure out how am I at the customer touch point or the place where they're paying attention, and deliver something there of value that will engage them, that they'll be willing to interact with. And so I think there is going to be some training necessary for certain demographics, but I think overall that most of the complicated stuff happens behind the scenes, and all somebody has to do is press play and all the analytics kick in, and, you know, certain ads are delivered, you know, on certain embeds and so forth.
Yep. That's super targeting. You know, when you're talking about interruptive ads, it's not interruptive if it's something you're interested in, you know. So the super targeting is taking place on web advertising and social network advertising, and Facebook and MySpace both are doing wonderful things in this area. You know, they're not garnering a lot of money yet, but ads that come up that, you know, that are about things that you're interested in aren't interruptive. As simple as that.
Yeah.
But getting back to good news, which is supposed to be where we're going with this whole thing, and you know, not on advertising. Well, you mentioned digital agencies. I got a piece of good news. How about a $9 million VC infusion to a digital, interactive agency in Chicago by the name of Manifest Digital?
Wow.
It kind of came out of nowhere, and I haven't been able to learn a lot about it, and it very well may be an aberration, some of my colleagues tell me. But nonetheless, it's a very healthy climate, if you can say that, in our times right now for digital marketing as far as an investment opportunity. And I'm going to be looking at this further relating to both VCs and angels that may be active, that are active in looking at digital marketing and digital content deals. And I'm going to be writing a piece for e-content magazine in March on this topic. But that's a piece of news I wanted to convey. Saw it pop up yesterday, and it happened to be the agency that won the Chicago FizzPop competition, the Microsoft traveling tour.
Oh, sure.
Just happened in Minneapolis here a couple of weeks ago, and I blogged about it on Minovate. So that's one piece of good news. The other quick thing before we go further on the topic, has everybody seen the good news hashtag yet on search.twitter.com?
No.
Yeah, I started doing it. You know how I've been tweeting good news? I've been trying to do that, you know, off and on here for it seems like a couple of weeks. And I started putting good news at the front of my tweets, you know, good news colon. And then it finally hit me after I did that several times. Why am I not doing this as a hashtag? So finally, I think it was yesterday or last night, I did one with the hashtag. And I thought, well, I'm going to go look and see what else is on there on that hashtag. Well, there's all kinds of great stuff. It's fantastic. And I don't know if somebody else just got the same idea I did a couple of days ago or what, but it's kind of fun. I mean, people are tweeting human interest stories, but like me, they're tweeting financial results, you know, companies that are reporting positive results, which I've been doing. So that would be my little spark of optimism this morning, is that you can actually read good news on Twitter if you want.
Well, I have two little pieces of good news. One is a coffee that I had yesterday with one of the founders of Mini Demo, talking about some interesting strategic plans they've got. So that's kind of interesting. And for all the listeners, we're going to be doing, there's going to be a Ustream live video feed from Mini Demo being done by a fellow who is one of the chief engineers at Internet Broadcasting Systems. And then Gabe Scheifetz and I are going to be doing video interviews of the presenters and then also folks, you know, who just are attending. And so there's some interesting moves there being made to try to strengthen the community and the ties to the community here in Minnesota. So that's the first thing. The second thing is something I can't remember because I went off on some tangent. So anyway, let's talk about something else.
have they announced the list of 5 or 10 presenters yet at Mini Demo? I looked on the site, it wasn't up there.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I know one that's going to present. It's a very interesting cloud computing management tools startup that I've personally been, personally know and have been in discussions with. And other than that, I won't name them yet because apparently I don't want to steal the thunder of Mini Demo, but apparently they're waiting for an opportune time to drop a news release.
Got it.
Announced. It may be as many as 10. In fact, I think they did say they're going to do 5 pitches and then have a break and do the other 5.
They're going to have an intermission. Yep. Yep. Which I think will be great.
They go all straight through all 10 of them last time, and that was a long session.
Yeah, it was. Well, plus it lets people come and go and other people can go in and sit down and things of that nature. But there will also be a monitor out in the lobby area for people to watch. I remember the other piece of good news, which is in a way kind of a bizarre and twisted piece of good news. But there's a CEO of a local startup here that expressed his surprise and delight at the fact that he was able to obtain some talent with equity stakes that he would be would have been unable to afford these people prior to what's going on, because people have, you know, essentially ratcheted down their expectations while at the same time ratcheted up their willingness to take a risk. So that's kind of an interesting aside to all of this is, you know, the kind of people that are on the street and the kind of people that are available and they're willing to take more risk now, which sounds counterintuitive. You'd think people would be wanting to take less risk.
You know, I think there's, you know, there's lots of great talent out there, and I think lots of people are finding this is their chance to get into the entrepreneurial world, either with their own venture or joining an existing team, an existing startup. And I think that's pretty exciting. Yeah, it's definitely a positive. There's lots of great talent available for the recruiters and for the recruiting companies, and particularly startups.
Well, did you, I just saw both you and Phil have conversations yesterday at the social media breakfast, as did I. And, you know, I mean, there were people I talked to that were out of work, that were there literally to figure out how to use social media to find a job. And there were others that had fear about losing their jobs. And there were others who were just simply, you know, interested in what was going on. But for the most part, everybody was remarkably optimistic.
Oh, absolutely. And I think those of us who are active in social media and marketing feel really good because we know we're in a place that's so ripe for the times. I mean, it's a technology, if you will, if you want to call it a technology or a set of technologies that couldn't be coming to the forefront at a better time because it's so economical for companies to play in this area. It doesn't cost a lot of money to start experimenting. And so I agree with you. I think there was a lot of, it was a really upbeat session yesterday. And I think a lot of job seekers learned a lot of great tips on how to find jobs.
Well, the other thing that I don't know if you guys have had this same sort of experience, but the being more attuned to the needs out there, and I guess this is maybe an opportunity for everybody listening, is tuning yourself to your customer and your prospect's needs in different ways presents opportunities that you may not even have thought about. So let's give you one example. So this, there's a HR and organizational development company that a friend of mine runs out in the Bay Area. And there's some work that I've done on, cause I'm kind of a jack of all trades, master of none with page layout, and I can screencast and do audio and video and all this stuff. And he asked me if I'd help him on a project, and it was doing some multimedia work. And I said, are you sure I'm the guy? And he goes, well, yeah, cause I've seen all the stuff you've done and so on and so forth. And so I did one piece of work for him. It took me 3.5 hours. And I realized that before all of this would have happened, I would have just immediately said no. And because I said yes and opened myself to doing something that's a little bit off to one side, it's now started a thought process that has taken me down a different road on what could potentially be built out of that. And so those are the kinds of things that I've been actively seeking people who are doing the same thing. So maybe that's why I'm coming across it. But I'm seeing an openness, not just on people trying to sell things, but also on the part of customers who are, again, they're looking for anything. They're in seek mode. They're open. They're willing to listen in ways that I've never seen before.
Yeah, seeking possibilities.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. New things open up. You know, I've gotten involved in some nonprofit stuff that, you know, obviously doesn't pay much or nothing. I mean, volunteer kinds of work, you know, that, but it's, you know, yeah, in difficult times like this, people are open to trying new things and are, you know, and I think the possibilities of social media have us all just really excited, you know. There's so many things that can be done, and it opens up a whole new world. It really, really does. And how can you not be excited about times like that, you know?
Yep.
Screw the economy, you know? It's about me. More good news. How about the first tech IPO coming forth? Internet IPO in ages. I don't know how long, but Open Table filed for an IPO, not a Minnesota.
Oh, I know.
But, you know, just wanted to inject another little piece of good news. I didn't see that one coming at all. But, you know, maybe we're past the bottom here when something like that pops up.
Yeah, why would you do an IPO with the market the way it is?
Heck if I know. But
I guess there's capital out there for that sort of business.
Yep, there must be institutions that that they figure are going to buy it. And, you know, it's only a $40 million IPO, but TechCrunch did the story, and, you know, they've filed. Whether or not it goes forward, who knows? But, you know, this is a company that's been around quite a while, wasn't it, back in the late 90s when this company actually got going? So they've got real revenues and apparently even real profits. Yeah, they turned a profit recently here. So, there's definitely money out there. And, you know, we keep reading that. There's money to be invested. It's just, you know, a question of, you know, where it's going to be invested. And, you know, you hear the VCs saying there's not enough good deals, and, you know, and of course the entrepreneurs don't want to take the lower valuations. And so it's kind of a stalled or greatly slowed flow of venture capital. But of course, this is the public markets we're talking about with this one. And I guess the story will be told when they actually do price the IPO or to see if it actually does float. But nonetheless, I take it a little piece of positive good news here that somebody's at least trying.
Did you see the Kathy Grayson's piece yesterday in the Business Journal about a couple of companies that have raised more rounds of financing?
Yeah, I did see it. I can't remember who they are right now off the top of my head. Refresh my memory.
Latonix, which is a medical kind of, I guess, medicine, patent medicine sort of company. So it's a healthcare play. And then the one that I thought was really kind of interesting is I guess it's Simbet, which is down in Elk River, and they raised $14 million and they're in the battery technology space, which is kind of interesting because I think that is going to be a really big play as more and more people buy basically handheld computers, you know, that are posing as phones these days. Battery technology is a big problem that needs to be solved. And we've got a local company now that's is trying to solve that problem. Yeah, it has, cool. Has products on the market, all that kind of good stuff. So I had never heard of the company before.
I vaguely recall hearing about a battery company up there, but the name is not ringing a bell. Simbet, do you think that's how it's pronounced? C-Y-M-B-E-T.
Yeah, C-Y-M-B-E-T, Simbet, I think is the way it sounds. Yeah.
Yeah, I was focusing in her column on the pitiful software funding. Not a whole lot. Two companies. Datacom got $120,000 from Rainsource Capital. Web-based software for manufacturers, and Calabrio got $500,000 from Bluestream Ventures, software used to manage call centers. But yeah, companies are getting funding. I'm aware of another one that she'll be announcing soon that got some angel financing that I've been involved with, but they haven't quite closed on it yet, but it's supposed to be happening real soon here. So,
Well, and also my work with George Johnson's Tel-A-Vision has put me into the education space, and specifically on the hunt for thought leaders in that space that are doing things differently. And one of the things that is, in fact, accelerating is homeschooling, but also online delivery of education. And we have, right here in this market, Capella, who's one of the key players in that space. And so with all of the new focus on, more education funding, along with broadband, along with, companies like Capella being able to deliver more and more learning modules and courses and so on, that they've got some pretty good strategic growth possibilities.
All right, here's the really good news. somebody finally signed on to open 20 Dunkin' Donuts in Southern Hennepin County. So how bad can that be?
You're kidding.
There you go.
So there you go. A native Peter Turner, who has signed on for at least 20 restaurants in Southern Hennepin County and throughout Carver County. So
think of the jobs.
Yeah.
There you go. No. Think of the donuts.
All right.
The donut has taken the big shaft, in the bagel, against the bagel and the croissant. So this is good.
There you go.
Well, but they're in the coffee deal, and they're going to eat Starbucks lunch, who stopped serving decaf in the afternoon. Caribou came right back and said, okay, come in anytime afternoon and get a free decaf. So there you go. Good news.
Which I thought was hilarious. Well, guys, why don't we call it a Saturday? And you're all going to go to Mini Demo next Friday?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'll be there.
That's the good news we have. That's it? That's all we got?
Well,
come on, there's got to be more. Got to be more.
I had some more things, but I've already blogged or tweeted about these two.
Steve, did that nasty rash of yours clear up? That would be good.
You know, it did. I got some tenactin.
No, I don't tweet about such things.
Yeah.
I tweeted about the good positive quarterly results that a lot of our local tech firms are reporting. We talked about MTS and NVE last week, but Surmodix, drug delivery firm, had a solid quarter. Digital River had sales up for the year.
Right.
Zeta is kicking butt, apparently, although they haven't reported their December quarter that I could find. But Zeta, XATA, in their September quarter had sales up 163%. earnings up 93%. How bad is that? You know,
yep. I mean, well, especially since they're, well, that's my old CEO, Jay Coughlin. Yeah. And they, you know, are in the transportation business. So they do GPS based technologies for trucking.
Mm-hmm.
So one would not think trucking would necessarily be a growth sector, but they're doing well.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. And of course, Amazon revs were up 18%. The rosy outlook, profits up 9%. You know, e-commerce is going strong and will be stronger. And, you know, and our local Best Buy will be coming out of the doldrums here. And, you know, with Circuit City going away,
yeah,
you have to be looking up for them too. So,
yeah. Oh, you know what I totally forgot? Is we have to end with this. There's a guy who has just been named a director of the Association for Downloadable Media. His name's Phil Wilson. Does anybody know him?
got my email, didn't you?
Oh, that's cool. That's great.
That's big. Yeah, you're going to end on that. Come on. You got to do better than that. Have you ever heard the word big finish?
yeah, I have, but yeah. Oh, man.
What the heck is the Association for Downloadable Media?
Well, the Association for Downloadable Media started about a year and a half ago. It's right now all volunteer organization put together by a bunch of folks that are interested in helping podcasters and people that provide downloadable media like RSS and that sort of thing to help monetize it. And the first order of business last year was to put together some standards and some policies that all ADM members signed off on to abide by to help it help basically media buyers understand the space a little bit better and understand that have some consistency across all these different individual podcasts and things that are out there. So still lots of stuff to be done. And it's, this is right now a part-time position and sort of but a good sign of growth for the organization. So, pretty exciting.
Well, cool.
Real.
And it's even a paying position?
It might be.
Well, good. But might is good.
it's one of those things that, yet to be defined, but I've had an opportunity to talk with some folks that, I just find fascinating in the podcast space. And this is by no means a dictate to podcasters that this is what you have to do to survive, by no means, because there are very much there are many people out there that are all about podcasting as just an art form and aren't necessarily interested in monetizing it. And that's fine. But, this is an attempt to standardize the platform a little bit, at least from an advertising standpoint, for people that do want to monetize it, that do want to get in front of media buyers and ad agencies. And we've floated some things out there with our advertising council that have gotten some great response, and we're looking to do a whole lot of things in the coming year. So a lot of projects in the wind. And again, a passionate group of people on the board, a passionate group of members that are really willing to stick out their necks right now and say, we want to help this this industry move forward. Among them, Chris McDonald from Wizard Media and IndieFeed, and then also Susan Bratt from Personal Life Media, who are big drivers behind the organization.
Yeah, she's kind of a machine. And
she is very much a machine. She's I always get a lot out of the conversations with her. She is very much driven and part of the startup of IAB years ago as well.
You know, it'd be great if you could throw this on the table. One of the biggest sadnesses that I have is trying to figure out what apps I want for my iPhone.
Yeah.
And that now is only second to my sadness of trying to discover podcasts. I mean, right. There are what, 30,000 right now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and that, again, that'll also be a part of where we're going. ADM can be a nice, gathering point for podcasters to, make themselves known. The ADM will never become a buying group. at least, you know, I that's not a part of the mission of the company or of the organization, but it is a nonprofit organization. So we're really looking to just figure out ways that we can help monetize and also, you know, promote podcasting. So if you're a podcaster like we are, feel free to head over to downloadablemedia.org and check it out. Of course, we would love to have you as a member. We have both individual memberships and also corporate memberships available. And would love to have your input and become a member.
So we get stickers and t-shirts?
I actually don't have stickers and t-shirts. However, we do have a lovely array of badges and buttons for your website.
Wow. Are they free?
Yes. I know. It's cool, isn't it?
All right, boys. Well, let's wrap it up, and we'll see you guys on Friday, if not before.
Sounds good.
All right.
Hey, take care of yourself. Have a good one.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye. Yep, bye.